All right, good evening, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started here. Thank you. I'd like to call the regular Santiago Creek Commission meeting of July 23rd, 2025 to order. We'll go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Michael Knight. Ms. Woolsey, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Galera.
Here.
Commissioner Adams.
Here.
Commissioner Baca.
Here.
Commissioner Hillman.
Here.
Commissioner Knight.
Here.
Commissioner Tolu.
Here.
Chair Moeller.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed in the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker unless a different time is announced. And it looks like we do have some speakers, so like to call up Jeff Hasem to the podium. Hello, sir.
Thank you very much for your time. At the last meeting, we brought up the topic of a community garden in East Orange. My wife and I are members of the community garden in West Orange, and we talked to so many gardeners and neighbors and just people in the area that say they'd be really, really interested to see a community garden in East Orange. We live adjacent to Grijalva Park, and we thought, wow, with so much open area in that piece of property, it seems like we could find a place for a community garden there. So I believe the idea was accepted last meeting, and I just wanted to ask at this meeting if I could get a contact person with either the city or the commission that we could work with in looking for a site, drawing up a site plan. I'm a retired civil engineer, so I can do a lot of that legwork myself, but I just need a qualified contact person authorized to give me some information and help me out with things like that. My wife would like to see, as part of the garden, a teaching garden where she could teach new gardeners how to grow, how to cultivate, how to grow food, how to prepare food, how to preserve food, and try and get some of these people away from fast food and learning how to preserve food throughout the year, not only freezing, but canning, freeze drying, dehydrating, things like that. So she's very, very interested in teaching. She's very good at it. She's also a master food preserver with the Orange County Master Food Preservers of University of California. And we're both master gardeners too as well. So. Again, what I'm looking for is a good contact or person that we can contact and be in communication with and work with. One of the pieces of property that I brought up last meeting was adjacent to the association where I live. And in talking to the association president, he said that that piece of property is available. The only thing is it's supposed to be maintained as a natural habitat type of an area, which would be fine. The only problem is we would have to fence in a specific community garden if we were going to do a community garden in that plot. But there's other plots around there. But anyway, Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Well, just on that note, so right now we're just in the planning phase. Implementation and design will be the next phase of the plan, which would happen, I think, after council takes a look at our plan, so probably next year sometime, just for expectation management there. So next speaker we have is Mark Kenton.
Thanks for letting me speak. I'm just going to tell you my observation on the creek, that I'm a frequent hiker on it, and I've started to bring a trash bag and clean up what I find. And I'll let you, the homeless are just trashing that place beyond belief. You know, it's almost like a big gulch there. You know, and until this is a community, you know, asset, it's got to be cleaned up and made that way. And second, the guys on the e-bikes, they've turned it into a race course. And it's, someone's going to get killed on there. And hopefully our Orange police, they can set up like a bike stop underneath the natural choke points at the bridges and start checking these bikes to make sure they're legal. And there's also dirt bikes that are being ridden. You know, that's blatantly illegal. Kids don't care, but take it away from them. So until all these are addressed, you know, this is not going to be a community asset. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Next, we have Jensen Hallstrom.
Good evening. My name is Jensen Hallstrom. I had spoken at the last meeting, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak again. I would like to again reiterate the significance and relevance to Santiago Creek, its historic ecology with its ancient sycamore trees. And the ones particularly next to Cambridge, there's an ancient sycamore on the west side and the east side of the bridge there, just on the north side. You can see these trees as already mature, large, already very old trees in aerial photographs from the 1930s. And seeing that we have ongoing, compounding stresses on our ancient native trees, such as shothole borer beetle and drought stress over the years, I would like to see tonight in the, I know I'm not going to speak on the items specifically, but I would like to see there be a specific interest in the conservation of these ancient trees. They're so amazing, it's kind of hard to state because there's so few of them that are left. And the ancient sycamore on the west side of the street of Cambridge back in 2013 was radically topped, severely topped. And some of you may be familiar with the tree. It is now standing as a snag, the former canopy and structure that it held as a very healthy tree. There's power lines that are just on the east side of this tree. So of course there's always conflicts, but again, there's also always opportunities for sensitive management that mitigates perceived risks and conflicts without just arbitrarily and severely. Now, that tree, thankfully, has had some stems sprout up from its root system, which sycamores are known to do, and it's a very common survival mechanism. And so these newly forming trees that are still part of the same organism, same root system, are trying to establish. So I'd like there to be seen a specific focus on the ancient ecology, which is seen in some of the very ancient sycamores, and there's a few walnuts along Santiago Creek within these stretches. And I'd like for there to be a very, very careful and coordinated effort in conservation, including the sycamore on East River Avenue.
Thank you. Thank you, Jensen. Okay, so moving on to item 3, So next item is approval of minutes of the Santiago Creek Commission regular meetings held on April 23rd, 2025. Ask questions for any staff on that? No? Okay. No public speakers on this item. Commission discussion on this? On the minutes from last meeting? Nope. Okay, asking for a motion. I got one by Commissioner Tolu. Someone want to second it? Oh, I got one by Commissioner Adams. I'll go ahead and vote. Oops. There we go. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everyone. Some paperclip off. Next is item 4.1, review and discuss the Santiago Creek Strategic Plan, Segment 3 Vision Statement. Go ahead and I'll ask staff for the presentation on that.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. If you don't mind putting up the PowerPoint presentation. So for tonight's meeting, we're going to be wrapping up the last segment of the creek. As the commission members of the audience may recall, we've separated the creek into three segments. We are on segment 3. And to repeat some of the similar steps we've been taking for segments 1 through 2, we are going to look at the vision statement as well as proposed projects for this particular segment. And so when we're looking at the draft vision statement, staff took the general themes that were created at the last meeting, and we tried to incorporate that into a vision statement that you see here tonight. Generally, much of what we saw in segment 2 continued on into segment 3, and that includes things like active recreation, ensuring that we're highlighting the historical significance of the area, the accessibility to this particular segment, ensuring safety, ensuring the beautification of this segment, and then also acknowledging that this segment, as it quickly shifts over to the city of Santa Ana, is kind of a gateway to the city. And so I'll go ahead and just read the statement, and staff's looking for any feedback and changes to the statement before we lock this in as being really the preamble to what will follow, which are going to be a series of recommended projects. So segment 3 extends from the 55 freeway to Hart Park and the 22 freeway. This segment comprises Central and Old Town Orange as it meanders to the neighboring city of Santa Ana. Segment 3's features include a mix of concrete channel and natural settings, with a significant portion of this segment adjacent to the city of Orange-owned property. Segment 3 projects recognize the value of having city-owned property near the creek, particularly as this highly traveled segment flows near the city's crown jewel, the Old Town Orange Plaza. In the spirit of Old Town, projects within this segment celebrate and merge Orange's history and vision for the creek's future. Segment 3 focuses on fostering a safe recreational environment encompassed with natural vegetation while offering educational opportunities through historical markers so Orange and non-Orange residents alike may learn about what makes Orange unique. Understanding this segment quickly transitions to the city of Santa Ana, Segment 3 projects seek to capitalize on the availability of city-owned parcels and deliver a bold approach that will make Orange immediately stand out and welcome all creek visitors to the city of Orange. So again, we tried to really capture some of the themes that were brought up at the previous meeting. And at this point, staff is looking for any feedback to any changes. And if there are none, we're hoping to adopt this as being the vision statement for Segment 3.
Thank you, Jack. Any questions of any other staff on that?
I have a comment.
All right, we'll go after. Yeah. Okay, so let me just see any members of the public that had anything to say on this. How do I unlock the screen?
Do we need to fill out a card for this? Or?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, here we go. We have Jensen again, Jensen Hallstrom.
Oh, can you hear me? So Thank you for that vision statement. I think it really well encompasses a lot of the goals here. And from my perspective, I think just again, like in my last comment, I think it's really important, especially in, as it's mentioned, you know, native vegetation. I think just taking a few more words to throw in, you know, such as our ancient, you know, sycamore and oak trees. I think it's just a small, you know, bit of an addition to, I mean, vegetation, you know, anybody that reads that, you know, but I think when you mention, you know, I mean, of course, you know, there's so many ecological opportunities with all the habitat restoration that can occur, and that is amazing. I think sometimes it's just that native trees, and especially very old native trees, are so charismatic in just their size and grandeur that, you know, I think that they definitely deserve a little bit of a more specific reference in something like a vision statement. I mean, again, you know, of course, we're talking about trees that are more than two centuries old, you know, some of them two, three, you know, plus. So while, you know, there is a lot of intact native plant communities and vegetation, I again think that, you know, these sycamore trees deserve their, I mean, for example, if you try to go on Google and you look up historic or ancient native sycamore trees along Santiago Creek in Orange, you know, there's not really much of any celebration or documentation. I'm a photographer, so I've gone all up and down Santiago Creek, photographing, documenting it for the past about 10 years, a little bit longer actually. But, you know, I think that giving these opportunities, and like what a vision statement does is giving this like compelling vision, and you know, this path forward, I think a very you know, warranted you know, celebration of these trees specifically. I don't know how much more I can drive that home that these sycamores are just, you know, just like I mentioned, you know, that they are not only just so amazing, but they are very endangered by many stresses of living this part of their very senescent life in, you know, in an urban environment. And they can, and a lot of these trees can continue to live for centuries more with very, you know, well-coordinated efforts. So just want to include that. Thank you.
Appreciate that. And just a clarification, Jack, just and for you, Jensen, I guess just, so that was a specific specific statement for segment three. There is the overarching vision plan that would include things like native vegetation and stuff like that. So just want to keep that in mind, but I appreciate that. Next we have Les Hall.
Okay, I'm a Santa Ana resident, so I live on the creek. Creek goes from Villa Park through Orange and Santa Ana. So first, really commend you guys of having an actual commission. Santa Ana needs something like that, and maybe they should be joining you because it's one creek. And I think kind of following along Jensen's thing, I can't wordsmith the vision statement, but the one thing that I didn't hear was water. And I think that's pretty critical just for the creek. Can't have a creek without water certain times. But I think for the health of the trees, if you, what's happening now is Irvine Lake is being enlarged. The Army Corps of Engineers is making the bond pits bigger. Storm control issues, but there's a capacity of keeping all of the water from not percolating through the whole creek. And I think one of the things, and this may be a parks issue, but I think there is a feeling that the parking lot and the creek can't coexist. I'm not sure if there's a way to, it seems like if you have a real creek going through a park, that's a huge plus. But right now that's been kind of cut off and there's a possibility that it will be cut off more as water gets diverted in the bond from the bond pits to the Santa Ana River. So I think keeping the flow is really important. There's been talk for 20 years about having water percolate all the way through the creek, through Villa Park, through Orange, through Santa Ana, all the way to the Santa Ana River, but that stopped largely at Hart Park. Santa Ana has a small part of Santiago Park that is a parking lot. Hart Park has a much bigger portion, but it seems like the parking lot and the creek should coexist. So I think ensuring that water flows through the creek, long-range percolation is important, keeps the trees healthy, but if things are cut off at the bond pits and water only flows during a huge storm, the rest of the creek will be a desert. I have a couple things. I don't know if that's how that works or how that's appropriate. Am I going to someone? Well, in Santa Ana, there's a bridge at Baker Street, pedestrian bridge. This is a view during a storm a couple years ago, looking east. This is the view looking west. And if water is cut off or reduced a lot, except during floods, a lot of these trees are going to die.
Thank you, Les. I have to.
So that's it.
Thank you. I appreciate
the photos. So water is my point.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Next, we have Peter Wetzel.
Thank you. I like what you've written on the vision plan. I certainly endorse it. And you mentioned, it mentions that specifically the proximity to Santa Ana. And I'm wondering, could we not include in there some reference to the regional situation and the fact that that end of the city of Orange is only about a mile and a quarter from the jewel of Orange County Recreation, the Santa Ana River Trail. And we have worked for many years to try to get the trail all the way to the Santa Ana River Trail. Just to mention that that's a part of a regional solution to how we proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Joel Robinson.
Thank you. Thank you, Jensen, for talking about the ancient trees. I think it would be worth, in that segment, considering mentioning ancient trees, native ancient trees. Cambridge Restoration Site, that's a really great site. It's not just for looks as well. It was an actual habitat restoration site right there. And then you have going upstream there, you have the channelized section of creek that, it used to be that golf course, and then Howard DeCriner and got together and tried to fight the development there, and now you have all sorts of random landscaping in that area. You mentioned there's this overarching mission, I guess, but in that section from the 55 to Hart Park, it has been degraded over time due to poor planning and bad projects. And there's not really a coordinated effort to, consistent in terms of managing the land. And despite all of that, wildlife are using it. And I didn't see any mention of wildlife in the mission statement. They don't have choices like we do. This is their refuge. And most of the areas beyond the creek channel and floodplain, they're not supporting a lot of species, and even the creek isn't really supporting that many. I mean, it's hard to find a single tree frog in that section of the creek. I don't know if there are any currently. So I think it would be wise to mention wildlife habitat. I mean, you say natural vegetation, but I don't know what that really means. Everything's natural. So I think it would be more important to specify that this area is important not just for, you know, residents and tourists, but for wildlife specifically, because that is one of the areas where bats still exist a little bit. I know the Nieves and the city contractors, they just go in there and do their worst job managing a lot of that area. You know, you have excellent reference sites both at Cambridge area and upstream of how that area could be restored to support wildlife that are on a severe decline. So I think that would be one of the major priorities, especially since, you know, the Jewel as in Old Town Orange is probably the least ecologically diverse area of the city, and could afford a lot of restoration in order to enhance that area for the benefit of special status species that have virtually disappeared from the city, except for in the East Orange section. So that would be my two cents for the wildlife.
Thank you, Joel. All right, now it's up for commission discussion. I know, Vice Chair, you had something.
Thank you. If you could put it back up. I was going to mention that it's a very good statement that does include talk about history, and it does talk about recreation, and it does say natural vegetation. So that's a good basis. But I do agree that we should include something about habitat, and maybe that should be the broader discussion also, and that's a big word. I don't think we need to go into a lot of detail, but wildlife, perhaps either wildlife or habitat, maybe wildlife. It was interesting, the comment about the water also. We might consider putting something there. What's interesting is that actually the water in the Santiago Creek actually comes from the Santa Ana River. And the Santiago Creek is plays an important regional function of percolating water. And so there's a big pump on the Santa Ana River that pumps water into the Bond pits that uses the Santiago Creek for percolation. The comment about the parking lot at Hart Park is that's actually a WPA project and also historic. So I know that we're acknowledging the history of that. So maybe we should consider something about water and habitat / wildlife.
Anyone else have any comments or discussion, commissioners? Commissioner Hillman?
When talking about water, and like what Les was mentioning when he spoke, the Santiago Creek this year has had something that I haven't seen before, and that is it has been running all year. It's what Pamela mentioned. It's being pumped from the Santa Ana River. And this is the first year that it has made it this long. And the creek is really coming back to life. The wildlife and things are sprouting. And if the management of this creek could keep this up, that creek's going to be gorgeous. There's a project that's happening at Prado Dam that might be the reason why we have the water. And that is at Prado Dam, they have been able to withhold water because of the prediction of storms, atmospheric rivers. And when they know that there's not a string of them coming, they start to withhold the water as a reservoir where it's always been flood control. And I think, I have to research this, but I think that's why the water is running this year for so long.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Commissioner Hillman, you are very correct. It's the management of the Prado Dam and Seven Oaks Dam, very high up in the watershed, and the technology that we have today to really predict those storms. And so the Orange County Water District manages these water sources, and they've done a very good job. And you are very correct in that we have pretty much year-round water thanks to that technology.
Yeah, go ahead, Commissioner.
And I have a vision for our creek, and that is the Villa Park Dam at Santiago Oaks. it serves the same purpose as Prado Dam does, as flood control. But with the same predictions of weather forecasting, I think it could be possible that they withhold water as well. And that would be even another resource for water to flow and percolate.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, Commissioner?
I was comparing this vision statement to segment two, which includes the words multimodal and trail. And I don't see those terms in this segment three, even though just like two, it also has a nice bike trail along the creek. And so I think I would love to add something to the vision statement that we're looking to enhance and continue the multimodal trail along the creek. And I like the idea of including in the vision that the vision is for this trail to go from segment one to two to three and continue down the creek right to the Santa Ana River so that we have a connected trail system that the public can use.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Okay, so Jack, right now for this one, do you have the overarching vision handy?
The way we've been doing is it's been by segment. I think we'll have, and I'll get into this too in the next item, but when we come back with the final draft for the commission's consideration, it'll be a much more polished document. We can have an overarching version. Based on the feedback we've gotten, I have to incorporate themes like natural habitat, wildlife, water, and continuing that items from segment two, like multimodal, and then also emphasizing that this will help, that this is going to help create a continuous recreation trail that gets to things even outside the city of Orange, really almost, that's right. I think that's what we're trying to get at with the gateway. It's going to continue on with the trail going into the city of Santa Ana, but then it's also going to be a way to access everything all the way up through East Orange. And so it seems like those are kind of the themes we want to try to incorporate into this particular.
Yeah, I just want to be cognizant that when we have our umbrella statement, mm-hmm. that we're not just repeating ourselves three times in each segment.
I'm going to try. Yeah. I think when we get to that place, I'll pull the different themes that we have from all three and then try to incorporate it into one.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And yes, so I agree. But I think the overarching items that we're really looking at is recreation, including a multimodal trail. Natural, and I would use the word native vegetation. Natural vegetation and wildlife habitat, whatever term we use. The talk about the water, how important it is for groundwater recharge, and then also, of course, history. You know, I would say those are the items that are overarching, most important.
Okay.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Anyone else? Yes, Commissioner Tillo.
Very, very minor one. Just thinking through some of the comments and how to put it together on that line. Changing natural maybe to rich native wildlife and vegetation. So maybe encompassed with rich native wildlife and vegetation, including ancient sycamores maybe. And while offering educational opportunities. I would just change that word through to and, because educational opportunities opens up the garden and some of the other ideas we heard, like where it can be, you know, family-focused events at the park as well as historical markers. So just changing that word through to and as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Tillo. So with that, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve this pending the changes that Jack just went over and we just all went over collectively. Do we have a second? You got it. We'll go ahead and move it to a vote. Thank you, guys. 7-0, item passes. Next item, we have 4.2. It is review and discuss the Santiago Creek Strategic Plan Segment 3 recommended projects. I'm going to ask staff for the presentation.
Okay, so for this next item, now we have the vision statement, and staff will take the feedback, and we'll incorporate that into that statement when we bring it back for with the final draft. This is to look at the recommended projects that were submitted before the agenda's publication, and we received one set of projects from Vice Chair Galera. And so if you don't mind pulling up the presentation, I have the segment planning sheet that was created. And as we've done with the previous meetings, I'll go ahead and hand it to Vice Chair Galera if she'd like to go through the projects that she submitted.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you. The first item is very, very broad, being restoration. I have said the restoration by removing trash and invasive plants and installing native plants. We could definitely expand this. There are monthly trash pickups, you know, in the creek. I know that the city of Orange is doing a much better job of collecting trash at the street. So trash is really important, very important to get it out of the creek. And probably the biggest challenge to the creek is the invasive plants. Along with these monthly cleanups, we do remove invasive plants, but it's just a lot. So I would love to put that, the removal of invasive plants, down. I have said native plants. We could have a discussion about the opportunity of near native, but as much as we can, we would like to stick with native plants. The next item would be new pocket parks. Between Tustin and Cambridge, there's a few parcels there that are owned by the City of Orange and a couple that are owned by the county, that it's really opportunities for future parks. And so that would be great. We could go for grants because it would be new parkland. I think that they would be very eligible for grants in the future. And then the next one is providing access to several neighborhoods. I've listed three here. I'm sure there's more. There's some locations where there's actually gates. Perhaps there would be an opportunity for the residents who live in those neighborhoods to be able to access that gate, but it be secure from the public. But that would be a great opportunity to allow those residents to really experience the creek and also keep it safe, have eyes on the creek, would be great. The next one I have is the idea of bikes and pump tracks, or just allowing children and families to be out in the open area. We did receive a comment of somebody taking exception to the location where I proposed would be, I had proposed the location west of Cambridge, north of the creek. We can choose another location, but as I'm out in the creek, I see a lot of times that families or children build like little jump tracks, you know, and I've seen kids out there with their bikes or have the little remote control cars, and the city comes in and bulldozes them down and lays out mulch. And I feel that it's so important to have our children outdoors, to have our children in nature rather than sitting home playing their video games. So whatever that we can do to encourage children to be outside, families to be outside and being enjoying the creek, I think we should try to do that and pick appropriate locations for that. So implement, as Commissioner Adams pointed out, the vision is to have a multimodal trail system. And one of the speakers was even talking about, you know, the conflict with e-bikes. And I don't know if e-bikes are allowed, but even the commuter bicyclist that's going to work, that, you know, maybe going a higher speed compared to a dog walker, compared to somebody who's jogging. As much as we can, if we can have kind of separate trail systems to keep, to allow the opportunity to have these different users be separate. Maybe even equestrian. I don't know if there's a lot of equestrians here, but a lot of times all these different users may have conflicts. So as much as we can, try to keep these conflicts away. So that's implement recreational trails. So that's we're very lucky in the city of Orange to have the asphalt bike path, but we also need that dirt path. And then interpreting the concrete pillars, you all may have noticed that there are these beautiful big concrete pillars, and I know they have a historic a history to them. I don't know the details of that, but it would be great to find out and interpret those. And then, of course, maintenance is very important as we move forward on the creek. And that maintenance is going to include removal, constant removal of those invasive species. It's not like we can go out one time and pull the weeds. We really have to stay on the maintenance. Implement separate dog walking is, again, this opportunity to have separate facilities, if you would, for the different users. And then improve safety. It's very important that families feel safe. And so maybe we can start neighborhood watches, maybe have more police patrols, maybe have park rangers, whatever we can do to improve safety. Maintain the landscape so the unhoused don't want to locate in those areas. And of course, creating more trails is going to have more people, which will lead to more safety. Kind of a catch-22. If people feel safe, they'll come out and they'll use the trail, and then they'll be better use, and then they'll feel more safe. And so I said specifically improving the corridor between Glacelle and the 22. There have been some trees planted in that area, but there's a great opportunity there between Glacelle and the 22 to plant trees, to have little pocket parks, and of course to remove the invasives. And then finally, just good trail signage all up and down the trail. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. I understand also historically, I think there was a Chinatown in this area too. So for the history, if we could interpret that part of our history.
Okay. So that's when staff was gathering all of the different recommendations. This was the one set of recommendations that we received. So really at this point, staff is looking for, and I took note of the history of, including as a part of the historical significance of Chinatown for this. But if there are any suggestions from the commission, I know we're gonna take public comment as well, but that's really what staff's looking for, is feedback on this and any adjustments before this is adopted as part of segment three.
Okay, yeah. Before the commission has our discussion, we'll hear from the public. So we'll go ahead and hear first from Jensen Hallstrom.
Okay, and thank you again for the presentation. I think that there are some really well laid out priorities here that, you know, are progressing toward, you know, this more usable, more lively, more ecologically functioning Santiago Creek. I guess I was a little disappointed that there was a note specifically for the concrete pillars, but not the sycamores. As I mentioned, there are two of those ancient sycamores on the west side and the east side of Cambridge, which are already very, very large trees. In aerial photographs from the 30s, and you can see these trees, you know, from over 90 years ago already being very old. So, you know, those concrete pillars are very cool. I notice them every time I'm nearby there. But I think I would have liked to have seen just as much of a notice or attention to that here. And I think speaking about invasive plants is so important, especially between Glacelle and the 22. There is a huge, entire populations of invasive trees and plants that have taken over, and like fountain grass as well. So I think, you know, maybe having a map with a highlighted region specifying key areas of invasive removal, Glacelle to 22 is definitely one of those areas. And then as we're talking about native plants and finding our definitions, I think maybe a little better than near native is just locally native, or to be even more specific, local to the Santiago Creek watershed, which even in that can be sometimes troubling, as you know, species further up in the watershed like Modjeska, you know, have certain species as like, you know, big leaf maple, which would not do as well down here. You know, even just so many miles away, you know, different climate. But I think what really should happen is that we should be very cautious about where we're sourcing plant material. You know, we can plant a California native sycamore, but where was that plant produced? What nursery did it come from? What population was it sourced from? I think something that Goleta has done, city of Goleta near Santa Barbara, they've taken what is their champion California sycamore, which is the largest recorded in the state, and they propagated cuttings from this tree very simply, and they have been planting those cuttings throughout trails and along the creek for years. And there's no reason why we can't do that with our ancient sycamores. So I think when we're talking about local, you know, I think we can bring it as local as possible in very creative ways.
Thanks, Jensen. And just for my situation awareness, when we finish this up, are we going to have like a definitions page, or like defining the terms that we use throughout the document kind of more clearly?
Yeah, I believe that was, I know that was brought up in a previous meeting about including that. So we'll have that as part of the final draft.
Next, we have Joel Robinson.
All right. Thank you for putting all this together. Appreciate all of your thoughtfulness in it. And on the restoration side of things, I think in terms of collaborating with groups and partners and all of that, actual habitat restoration specialists should be included in this, as well as biologists who understand how to assess these areas. Because have you done a resource management or a plan where you've actually done the biological technical reports and assessed this section of the creek yet? Because I think that should probably be done. So, you know, whether the plants are native or not or whatever, it doesn't really matter. A lot of species of wildlife are going to be utilizing these areas at certain times of year. And I've noticed that the city will come in and clear for various reasons, either thinking that the plants are the reason why the vagrants are here, or you know, it's for flood control or whatever, or you know, a community group comes in and starts ripping everything out, creating more disturbances. That doesn't necessarily bode well for certain species of birds or other wildlife that have sometimes a limited window utilizing this section of the creek. Long story short, you need to understand what you're doing and work with the right people who actually know what they're doing. There are amazing local specialists in habitat restoration, consultants and the like. I don't know if you've heard of Margot Griswold, but she's one of the best in the habitat restoration realm. We've worked with her in the past. Just assessing these areas to actually understand, you know, whether it's ancient trees or what species of pollinators are there or whatever. These are all important things to understand. It's not as simple as just having volunteers go in and remove fountain grass or something like that and replacing it. Sometimes the conditions are as such that it's only going to favor the introduced plants. So you got to understand the soils, you got to understand the conditions that influence all of the plants and everything, and then also recognize that this is for wildlife as much as it is for people. And if we want to improve conditions for a very specific species that are on a decline, that means we need to stay as local genetically as possible. Otherwise, we don't get certain rare bumblebees or whatever in our city anymore. So these are opportunities. But we got to work with the people who know what they're doing, including me. I haven't heard anything from any of you about any of this until today. So thank you, Jensen, for inviting me. Partner with the people who know, and I think that's about it. Oh, the other thing, please don't blame the plants for human issues. Maintaining them for
thank you, Joel.
Anyway, You get it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. Next, we have Les Hall.
I'm kind of mirroring everything that people said also, so I just want to reemphasize the wildlife and the water and really kind of focus on the water. And I have a question. I think most of Santiago Creek flows eventually into the Bond Pits, and I think the water is going from the Bond Pits to the Santa Ana River. I don't think it's reversed. I'm not sure how that's working. Okay. Well, again, if there's more water in the Bond Pits, I think the question, one of the things that David was talking about is revitalizing the whole creek area and the habitat with water. But I think a lot of it's stopping at the Bond Pits. It hasn't really flowed south of that. So I think I'd like to emphasize the sharing part with the water in the Santiago Creek, because it does seem like it pretty much stops at the Bond Pits unless there's a huge storm or flood, and then there's some releases. They've been talking about periodic releases most of the year, assuming there's water, going all the way down the creek. So I think that's important, is sharing and getting water that will flow through the whole creek, eventually back to the Santa Ana River, and not leaving a dead zone from south of the Bond Pits. There's one thing that worries me a little bit is in the Santa Ana River, next to a proposed development called OC Vibe, it looks like there is a permanent lake being proposed where the Santa Ana River would be dammed. It would be percolated, water would percolate there. But I'm not sure how much water there is to do that. In dry seasons, there's no water in the Santa Ana River, but it looks like that area is being aesthetically created as a permanent lake, which would keep all of the water north of Santa Ana. So that's kind of my plea, is to share the water, not only the Phillip Park and Orange, but keep some more percolation going all the way down the creek, eventually back to the Santa Ana River. And I think that has been proposed for a lot of years. And getting back to Hart Park, I think there should be room for water flowing through the park, Hart Park, Santiago Park, next to Fisher Park, year-round, and not stopped and only see water during a 50-year flood. So that's it.
Thank you, Les. I appreciate it. With that, I don't see any more public speakers, so go ahead and open it up to the rest of the commission for discussion. Go ahead, Vice Chair.
Concerning the comment about water, Jack, maybe we can get an exhibit from the Orange County Water District about, you know, this very wonderful but very complicated water network that we have, including the OC Riverwalk. That is going to percolate, hold and percolate water on the Santa Ana River, but much in the way the Bond Pits do. So maybe we can help. Maybe we should include an exhibit like that in our document.
Okay. Yeah, we can certainly look at that, and we can request that.
Anyone else? Commissioner Hillman, go ahead.
I'd like to support Commissioner Galera's report with three different things. With tree planting, I came across a really cool thing while I was exploring segment one. There's this fellow, Robert Hendrickson, and his daughter, Gina. They water the young trees that were planted by the Greenway Alliance in segment one. And they take care of 14 trees, mostly live oaks and a few native cherry trees. They pull a wagon full of refilled gallon water jugs. They've been doing this for over a year as their assignment, and they're very dedicated. And I mention that because in segment two, one of my proposals was the more plantings. And this is a wonderful program that the Greenway Alliance has going with volunteers. The other one is when I was exploring, whenever I was on the bike trail, the speed and the quiet of battery-operated bicycles, and some of them didn't even have pedals for biking. it is so dangerous. If you just daydream for a minute and you're walking, they go by so fast. It's like 30 miles an hour. It makes you look for another place to be walking. So with that said, as I mentioned about segment two, segment two and segment one have long stretches where there are trails on the other side of the creek, dirt trails that are very usable. They're wilderness-like trails. And I think that it'd be really cool if that could be improved, like Pamela mentioned. And then in segment one, as Ms. Galera mentioned, there are six more of those huge concrete triangle embankment supports. I reported last meeting on that segment two also has the same embankment supports in two locations. Plus, there's actually six more in segment one up from the Hurwitz site. And what's so interesting about them is they're so similar to the other places, but they're like 40 feet above the creek. These embankments have been put there for over 100 years before the dredging for the sand and gravel. So the Hurwitz site and all of the Bond Street pit area was 40 feet higher. And I think the purpose of those embankments were to support the river stays where the river is. But it's neat to see them so far up on the bank. Yeah, and so anyway, they are historic and easily over 100 years old. And I think it'd be really neat if we could find the answer to their purpose and why they were put along the Santiago Creek. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hillman. Anyone else? You have anything? Commissioner Tillo?
Okay, yeah, I just want to second a lot of those recommendations too and highlight a couple of, just a couple of points. Separation of bike path and dirt trail in this part of the segment I think is very important. It's just so narrow. I mean, I've taken my bike down there too and I feel like it's almost too narrow to make multimodal that area. But given the city ownership of more of the expanse, I think there could be multiple developments in a different fashion than other parts of the segment. Totally agree with the pocket parks in segments one and two, but also potentially three. There's so much space there. And then even like linking that over to the Chinatown, which, you know, I've always been really interested in the archaeological and the historical component and did a little research today again. Phil Brigandi's book is like the Bible for this, so it's the only thing I could find. But there's about 17 people. Anaheim was the only other city that had the largest, well, it had the largest Chinatown in Orange County, and they had about 54 Chinese. But they were really instrumental in helping us build the railroad, which, you know, links to our history of orange production and shipping out. And so I think, you know, looking for markers for that area, which may be just outside of our zone, I think it was around Glissell, South Glissell, just north of the park, but around that area. So whether we put a marker in segments one, two, or potentially three for Chinatown, do a little bit more research on that, that would be great. And then the other thing, I've mentioned at a previous meeting for this area too, which I could not find any information about, just Indian, you know, arrowheads and things that have been found along the creek in general, but even in this area of Hart Park before it became a dumping ground and before it became a park, you know, if there are any relics and things from that area, just sort of recognizing the natural habitat and the people who lived there before we founded orange might be nice. And then I would just say lastly, I liked, you know, through a couple of meetings now too, this Mr. Haysom and Mr. Hallstrom's idea, but this community park and then this sort of, you know, native reforestation. And I think to another place even closer than Goleta, which is called Tree People in Studio City, Coldwater Canyon. And that's fantastic. It's a group of volunteers who just really put, you know, time and effort into growing trees that are native to the area so that when there's a fire or whatever they need to reforest, it's ready to go. And that's the entire purpose. And I just wonder if we can combine those two ideas somehow in this area, given more city ownership of the property, to have community parks where we can invite the community to help us grow sycamores or native trees and things like that. It's also educational, you know, it's historical. It ticks all the boxes. And I think we have the land to do it here. So if we can maybe look at that as well.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else? Go ahead, Vice Chair.
Yes, Commissioner, you brought up a few things that are very important. We should absolutely add the indigenous people and looking into their history and perhaps communicate with one of the local tribes. I could help with that. They, you know, we need to hear their story. You know, when it comes to the history, the pillars, the Chinatown, of course, the ancient trees, you know, and the indigenous people who lived here, but then also maybe talk about the more current history, the restoration of the Cambridge site. Back in the year 2000, I think the only native plants in that location were those two sycamore trees. I think there was hardly a native plant out there, and the city went through great efforts to restore that area. So perhaps we should tell that story because it really is a great success story. And then another a point about we should have the opportunity for collaborations with tree people, with coast keepers, you know, with the Santiago Creek Greenway Alliance, with other organizations. We can give a list, local ecologists, et cetera. So I think that's very important, too, more of a how-to and who do you call type of thing.
Okay.
I think that was it. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And I did want to mention how we did get four e-comments today that we saw. Three of them were from residents near Section 9 of this segment, just opposed to or unhappy with the RC car track and pump bike track in that section. I would ask that maybe we just remove that one from it for now, and that can come up later if that's something, just for now. If anyone else is okay, if everyone's with that.
Yes, and so I would like the concept, you know, of children being outdoors on bikes with cars. I would like that concept to be kept in the document, but we should find an appropriate place.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank Agreed.
You. Commissioner Tillow?
And just on that, I was with my niece today and we drove by that area too. They're right up against that area. Yeah. I get it. Like,
okay. Okay. Anyone else? Commissioner Knight?
I kind of like Jensen's idea about recognizing these historic oaks and maybe there's, or sycamores, and maybe there's some way to easily identify them, map them, have like a naming and adoption program. That's all.
That's a good idea. Anyone else? Commissioner Hillman?
I have an observation to report. The plaque that was missing along the creek at Yorba Park has been reinstalled. You guys probably don't want to hear what it says, do you?
Nope. If it's brief.
Here it goes. Arroyo Santiago, named by the Portola expedition, which camped on its banks 0.5 of a mile northeast of here, on the night of July 27th, 1769, Jose Antonio Yorba, an officer of the expedition, was one of the grantees of the surrounding rancho of Santiago de Santa Ana. and it was erected by the Orange Civic Organizers and Citizens in 1966.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner.
Can I just say, I know we're talking about segment three tonight, and this is not segment three, right? For the Portola. But yeah, definitely El Camino Real Bell for that area. Yeah. And we have proof, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be a great marker for that segment too, right?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay, so pending any, everyone else is good to go with commission discussion? Okay, so we'll go ahead. Oh, good. Yeah, Commissioner Baca. Mm-hmm.
I do want to go back to Mark Keaton's comment about the e-bikes. I met up with two families that are really proactive in that sport. I got to actually see these bikes, and I'm really concerned just as much as he is, because some of these bikes are up to like 75 volts, and they're capable of doing anywhere from 60 to 70 miles an hour. They're not bikes. They're straight out dirt bikes, what I would classify as a dirt bike.
I just want to be careful that.
Yeah, no, I understand. Concern I see with him mentioning, you know, how do you limit something like that on the trail and say classify, okay, what's the difference between like a, you know, pedal assist bike versus a bike that has the capability of such a speed and design for you know, such a purpose. Maybe there's some way of implementing getting, you know, just like you used to have back in the 80s when you get your bikes registered with Orange PD. Something similar to that effect, where they could examine it, you know.
Give yeah, I just want to make sure, because that's not our. We can't do anything about that. We're just the creek, right? So that would be something maybe for city council to discuss or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
in terms
I know.
Of the trail and what type of trail and what it can have and not have on
but
it.
But would that be what you guys were talking about? Would that be specifically on that on the north side of the creek you were discussing, like a dirt trail, where you were saying like e-bikes on that side?
Yeah, it was north of the trail.
Yeah, so I'm not advocating the use of e-bikes.
Okay.
Yeah, to be sure, to be clear. Yes, but a hiking trail, dog walking, equestrian, hike, dirt bike, you know, and then the commuter bike, the skinny tire, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'll ask for a motion on this. Got Vice Chair looking for a second. Commissioner Tolu. All right, perfect. Another 7-0 decision. Motion passes. So I just want to take time before we end here just to acknowledge this is the city manager's last official meeting with the city, I was told. So I just want to make sure we all thank him for his service, not only as city manager, but as chief of police and as someone in law enforcement that served a lot of time here in the city of Orange. So we just want to take a time to thank you real quick. So thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, this meeting is now adjourned. The next regular meeting will be held on Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. here in the council chamber. Thank you, everyone, and have a good rest of your night.